Denzel Washington injects secrets into his butt and really ruins Ryan Reynolds' date night in Safe House, a movie which may have been made in Robin's one-time home of Cape Town, but was the number one movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Movie in America.
Movie in America.
The number one movie in America.
Hi, I'm Sean Collier. I'm here with the other Secret Service agents who are fine with this job. It's Camila Adams.
Hello.
And Robin Hitchcock.
I don't want a more difficult job, which also comes up this week.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Men.
What a bizarre coincidence. That was Guarding Tess, 39 and a third, just ahead of Madagascar Escape to Africa.
Oh, boy.
Not a lost classic as far as we're concerned. Look, why wait? Robin, tell us about the country of South Africa.
Okay, well.
Wait, did Robin live in South Africa?
I think she may have.
Almost never talk about this. It so rarely comes up. But I lived in Cape Town, South Africa from 2012 to 2015.
Yeah, right when this movie was released.
Yeah, so we actually moved there in May of 2012, so like 3 months after this movie came out. And I remember watching this in our apartment on Adderley Street, which is where the events in the first, all of the street stuff in the first part of this movie is my street.
That is where
we lived. And it's weird to watch it because of Jason Bourne camera. It's like you're desperately like,
right?
Yeah. That's our corner bar, right? Like, right? But it's for 2 seconds in a shaky cam. It was very frustrating. The most exciting part for me, which I mentioned last week, is when they run through that food court. That's called Eastern Food Bazaar. And it is the greatest fucking place on earth. And I did think, though, that if I were ever, I struggled with how crowded that place was normally. If I were ever there and there were gunshots, I would just lay down and die.
Well, that was one of my questions for you, is there are moments in this film where there's like an outburst of violence and everyone around kind of goes, okay.
How much are these tomatoes?
I would say the most real thing in the whole movie for me, Cape Town wise, was when there's the protest. It's weird that they say give us jobs. That's not really a problem. Yeah. There are jobs aplenty. They just don't pay you. The protests were usually like give us plumbing, money. Right? Or money. Yes. Plumbing was a big issue when we were there. Really? And there was a day when they had a protest down our street and people were throwing shit onto all the buildings. That was rough. Anyway, but yes,
I mean, that really illustrates the need for plumbing. If we were like, we had this and now we're throwing it at you. Didn't go away.
Yes.
That would have been the moment that I just like, and it's time to go.
I mean, we left right before the country ran out of water. So that was a really good choice on our part. We did not know. When we were there, it ran out of electricity periodically. I much prefer water to electricity.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
You could only have one.
Right, yeah. Electricity, not a deal breaker. No water. But I don't think it's stayed in my memory. Where did you move?
My husband researches tuberculosis and HIV co-infection, and that's where like the best HIV TB lab in the world is. So when we started dating in 2008, he was like, yeah, I'm getting my PhD. When I finish, I'm probably going to move to Africa and do research there. And I was very like, cool, great. We will not be dating then. And then when we started to get serious, I was like, I don't ever want to leave this country. And he was like, I love you more than science. And then we got married and I wasn't employed. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go.
Sure.
And it was great. It changed my life. It was wonderful. That's where I started doing comedy more seriously because I didn't have a work permit. So I could. And that's where I started doing improv and it changed my life for the better. And it's a beautiful, wonderful place. It's a great, I highly recommend visiting there if you are able. It's a long fucking flight, as we've discussed. But it's actually a pretty affordable trip because the favorable exchange rate. We will probably talk about this in the faxy section. There's a reason that they were making a lot of movies there for a period of time. And you can do beach, mountains, wine, shopping, incredible food. art. It's just great. Just go. Anyway.
That soccer stadium looked fun. Is that a place you recognized?
Yeah, that's Cape Town Stadium. Okay. They built that for the 2010 World Cup.
Mm-hmm. Had you been there?
I don't know if I ever went to an event
yeah.
there, but mm. that's near where one of my friends lived, so I was mm-hmm. there all the time. Mm. What I was going to say, protests there, just constant protests, which makes sense, right? Like, yeah. I lived there when the country was less than 20 years free,
yeah.
right? Like, they got their freedom on the back of protests. They all have right. a strong... Mm-hmm.
Protest game?
Yes. And so that happening and everybody... using it as a cover, that was the only part of this where I was like, this sounds like something that somebody who actually understands Cape Town thought of would be clever. Mm. Everything else is kind of like, and we are here. And there are several things where I'm like, I hate to be that guy, but I am.
I'm sure we'll get to it. My first one, though, is do people actually say Joburg?
Oh, yeah. Exclusively.
It's barely, you're only saving two syllables.
I literally do not think I heard the word Johannesburg the entire time I lived in South Africa.
Wow. The more you know. Well, that's all very interesting. The movie, on the other hand, I definitely saw this at the time. I definitely reviewed it. I remembered neither, and there's a reason. Had you seen this?
I saw it. I did. Yeah. I think I remember renting it, but yeah. I don't remember anything from it. This was like, there was nothing memorable about it other than Denzel. Yes. Other than to save me in the game of like whatever movie celebrity or whatnot. I was like, yes, Denzel and Ryan Reynolds have made a movie together.
Yes.
Like that's what it was like. It was brand new this time again.
I also had basically no memory of it, even though I had the memorable experience of watching it in my apartment right. on Adderley Street and being like, that's us. And also watching, I believe we watched its like broadcast premiere on South African television.
Interesting.
And I remember going into, you know how on Twitter you used to be able to like go to what are they tweeting about in Cape Town?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would like turn on the Cape Town feed and watch other Cape Townians complaining about Safe House. And like, that's not where the M7 goes. You know, like that kind of thing.
Wait till they hear about a little movie called
Striking Distance.
Striking Distance. Like,
it is, that car chase is a very Striking Distance kind of situation yeah. where it's not so bad as like they go from Polish Hill to the Armstrong Tunnel,
yeah, yeah.
but it is very much they are going up and down Adderley Street over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And then he's like, I just passed Woodstock, and they show like an overhead shot of Woodstock and he's in Greenpoint. And it's opposite directions. This is interesting to literally no one. I'm sorry.
Just like the movie. Let me tell you what happens in it. Tell me when.
Go.
Denzel Washington plays rogue spy with terrible name Tobin Frost, who stopped working for the CIA years ago when he determined it was slightly more corrupt than he had figured. Now he's got a tiny file full of damaging information about all the world's intelligence agencies, and he's going to temporarily inject it into his butt until he can leak it to the public. Meanwhile, Ryan Reynolds plays frustrated CIA safe house minder Matt Weston, who's trying to keep up an ill-advised and underwritten relationship when he's not complaining about how his dangerous government job is too safe and easy in a bizarre echo of guarding tests. Well-trained goons start chasing Tobin Frost. He walks into a U.S. embassy to avoid being shot in the head. They take him to the titular safe house, only for everyone except Ryan Reynolds to get killed by those same goons. I could go into more detail, but let's skip ahead. Literally every character in the movie works for the CIA. Some are just marginally more corrupt than others. Everyone except Ryan Reynolds gets killed. Denzel gives him the secret butt file, and he leaks it. Even though the CIA knows he's going to do that and mysteriously just lets him walk away and start his relationship again, which is dumb.
You had it. You're like 61 seconds
just from saying it's dumb.
Yep.
I didn't think he started that relationship again. I thought that was the standard. I'm acknowledging that you know that I'm alive and I know that you're alive and we'll always love each other.
Batman and Alfred nodding
yes,
at each other over the
they do it in the Mission Impossible movies and it's dumb.
Yeah, it was unnecessary.
Yeah.
She didn't need to be there at all.
Who cares about her?
Cut that whole I know he's a human even if he
right.
doesn't have a girlfriend.
Yes, it's okay.
It's the same thing as we had with Gravity, right?
Right.
Where it's like, I refuse to actually care about these people. And you don't have time to make me actually care about them. So just have action.
Right. Yeah. We're doing an action movie. Let's just shoot, bang, bang. Let's chase
right.
and runs and things blowing up. I don't care about Ryan Reynolds' little love girl. Because it brought nothing and zero to the plot.
She can do much better.
Yeah.
In so many ways.
I will give it to him acting wise, their little interchange in the subway station or wherever it was when she's like going off on him and he's like trying to like get her to focus.
Yes.
I will give him props, his acting props on that.
But he's fine.
He's not him. He's not him yet. He wouldn't be him for Deadpool. Really unlocked Ryan Reynolds.
Really? But not Van Wilder.
I feel like that and Waiting is another one. He's kind of just like,
because I feel like there's a
I always felt like he was half Jason Lee and half just generic cool guy. Like he was trying to figure out this comedy persona that
interesting
he didn't quite get for a while.
Because we had that Van Wilder moment when everybody was introduced to him, and then I don't remember what the next step was. What was more serious, but like around Amityville when he did the remake of Amityville, I thought he was great in that. Mm-hmm. And then I guess after that we got a lot of some action movies with him, and then we got Deadpool.
So he was in Blade Trinity.
That's right. I thought he was great in that.
He was working out the kinks of Deadpool.
Working out for real.
And then there was Deadpool Part 1.
Right.
Or Part 0, right? And then there's Green Lantern, right?
Oh,
like,
God,
he got more chances than anyone else.
Yeah.
And it paid off eventually.
Sure. Yeah.
That imaginary friend movie looks cute.
What? I haven't seen anything about that yet.
What?
It's called If. It's like a family, big family comedy with all these. It's kind of Roger Rabbit-y.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
It's weird because that's coming out. It's called If, which stands for Imaginary Friend, and it's like a funny family romp. And there's also a horror movie called Imaginary about evil imaginary friends.
Yeah. Okay. I am aware of that one. Yeah. Yes.
But the end, sorry to jump all the way to the ending again, regardless of whether or not him and
French girl,
Frenchie McPlot device, his lady friend, are back together, the penultimate scene is the CIA going,
we know you have this, and if it is released, we'll know you did it, and then we will ruin you.
We'll kill you.
Yes.
They killed everybody in this movie.
And it really, I completely agree, it doesn't make sense for them to not just kill him.
Right.
At all. It also really doesn't make sense for Denzel Washington to not kill him. And I feel like they could have made that, they could have had some kind of plot reason, or even just try to justify it with like, if you're here, you're a sack of meat to take a bullet instead of me, right? And instead it's like they just keep being together.
Well, I think the way I took it was that Denzel saw something of himself in him and thought that, and also like, if I don't make it through this, I need to know that there's somebody else that's going to take this information and get it on, you know, and then release it. That's kind
of, I like that. I feel like maybe... maybe that was there and I didn't see it. Or maybe it's you're smarter
wishful
than
thinking.
Me. Camille.
Oh, yeah.
You're
thinking.
A little bit more
you're smarter
the movie.
Than the movie, too. That's my movie. Guess. Camille is smarter than the movie.
I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot. What I didn't get to at all, because it's pointless, is that this whole time there's Ryan Reynolds' CIA friend, played by Brendan Gleeson, and the person who doesn't trust Ryan Reynolds, played by Vera Farmiga, and you're kind of like set up to which one of these is crooked.
You know that one of them is.
It's clear that one of them is, and then it just switches it, so like Vera Farmiga is really set up as the suspect one, and then it's just, oh no, it's Brendan Gleeson, as a pure plot device.
So
as
Cohen,
a pure like, ah, you thought it, but we just changed it on you, unmotivated, keep watching.
So going back to the, we've all seen this before, none of us retained any memories.
Right.
Colin at some point said, she's got to be the bad guy, right? And I was like, I'm certain she's the bad guy, and I don't know why, which means it must just be a memory that I have.
Yeah.
And then when she wasn't the bad guy, I was like, so were they setting it up? Because I don't feel like they were. Is this just internalized misogyny or recognition of patterns of misogyny in these movies?
I think it's more of that. Like, because I feel like most movies would have been like, yes, we'll let the woman be the bad guy because no one will see that coming.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And, and I just real quick, because this is going to bug me. Like,
please.
I'd like to clarify the Ryan's timeline here.
Thank
so
you.
Apparently, Amityville was before this. Amityville was 2005. Smoking Aces, one that he is fantastic in, 2006. He plays, you know, again, another CIA agent. And then Blade Trinity, 2004.
What?
Yeah, right? So he's bulked up like that. Like, he's like Blade Trinity. Like, those arms. Like, that dude's body was banging in 2004. And why do we get fresh-faced child boy in this one. And also Buried was before this one too, which was also, that was a good movie.
But yeah, I've never watched that because it sounds horrible.
Yeah, it is. It's really,
but
if
I've
you
heard
have any,
it's good.
If you have any problems yes. with claustrophobia, it is not the thing for yeah. you. But yeah, like it's just, it seems like a weird placement in his filmography for this movie. Like,
do you know
the character that he
who
plays?
I thought was well cast in this, and I've never said this ever before and never will say it again. Joel Kinnaman.
Who's that?
The guy at the other safe house.
Oh.
right? Because right. I feel like there is maybe I'm being too kind. I feel like there is a version of this movie that actually rules. Mm. And in that movie, they acknowledge that the CIA is full of dorks. right? Because like, spy movies, usually the spies are so unbelievably cool, right? But yeah. in the real world, they are civil
right.
servants,
right?
Right? They're young Republicans
yeah.
yeah,
who can't have friendships or family, and they choose, like, I like the part where they're like, he's an orphan, so he was recruited out of Yale Law School.
Right.
Like, I was like, I was an orphan in law school.
Nobody called
the CIA didn't call me?
Nobody's knocking on my door. And I also, I would like to put, I think a better name for this movie would have been Housekeeping.
Ooh, yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. God damn it.
Also, a better movie would have been more safe house focused.
Right.
Like, I was interested in that.
I yeah. want, right. In my mind, a safe house is just a location that yeah. has a bunch of guns and money and passports in it. Exactly. I didn't know there was someone sitting there throwing a ball against the wall
right,
waiting
just
for
waiting.
You. Yes.
I figure there would have to be.
I mean, I guess.
But,
so,
but that's interesting. You know what's not interesting? Walking around in a crowd going, huh, which is 70% of this movie.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And
okay, facties, yeah. we're getting like yeah. way ahead.
Hold.
But you see what I'm saying about how this movie, if they had just leaned into, these are a bunch of dorks who yeah. periodically have to murder each other with their bare hands,
right.
could have been a better movie.
yes.
And I think that the Joel Kinnaman scene is the only time when that was really evident.
But yeah. why did he turn? Was he on?
He's just evil.
He was just a... in on the game.
He's
I
a
guess.
Young Republican who works for the government to kill people.
And I'm assuming but, that was his little text message he got.
Right.
Like,
okay. He got a text message from who?
Yeah. Sam Shepard.
All right. Fine.
Yeah.
Let's not. This was
if
released.
You look away for a hot second, like if you look at your, oh, you, will, you you'll miss because I missed a couple. Yeah.
People still mad at each other. All right. February 10th of 2012, this
what?
Movie came out and
almost
did
to the date we got.
That's nice.
We did, and it did not win its opening weekend. Safe House made $40.1 million, but that was Valentine's weekend. So, Romance: The Vow made 41.2.
I saw that shit in the theater. I was so pissed about it.
It's like 50 First Dates, but serious.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, what's his name? Nicholas Sparks.
Channing Tatum. And
that's based on a real story.
I know,
yes.
right?
Yes. Yeah. I've never seen it because I find that really upsetting.
Sure.
Yeah.
Just barely. It is on our list. They flipped the following weekend once the dates, once no one had to go on a date anymore. Safe House took the top spot in its second weekend with $23.6 million. Still only beating The Vow by less than $600,000. Both just barely beating the debuting Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, which debuted in third with $22 million. So Safe House was... Safe House was the sixth number one movie of 2012.
Add that to your vocal warm-ups. Yeah. Wow.
That whole traffic jam of movies dipped down the chart the following week when Act of Valor came in first.
I don't know what that
no
is.
No idea.
It's a Navy SEAL movie. It's the one where they were real Navy SEALs playing.
Oh, brother.
Tyler Perry's Good Deeds came in second. Safe House made a total of $126.3 million, 21st overall for the year. This is the first English language feature from the director Daniel Espinosa. Don't pay attention to that last name. He actually is from Sweden. Previously did a lot of Swedish action movies. They brought him in for this. It was not a smooth transition. He clashed continuously with the producers of Safe House. The producers wanted him gone.
Mm.
Denzel liked him and had...
Denzel likes him.
Yeah, and had creative control, so he stayed.
Wait, I'm sorry. I missed it. They wanted who gone?
The producers wanted the director gone.
Oh.
But Denzel liked him and kept him around. He hasn't done much since. He made the sci-fi movie Life, which my spreadsheet tells me I've seen, but I have no memory of. And
Ryan Reynolds is also in it.
Ryan Reynolds is
Life?
Also in that. Yeah, like
it's
2017. Space movie. And he made Morbius, so things are going great.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of things the things I don't remember or didn't remember seeing, I have When I was like in college, I had a one of those personal blog things
sure.
that like somehow got fed into Facebook notes in the early days.
Okay. Mm.
I've privatized all of that for very good reason because it's all like a 21-year-old being
emo stuff.
Yeah, being emo or sarcastic or thinking I'm funnier than I am. All of which I still do, but a little better.
It's just better edited.
Right. And one of them popped up and I found like an angry four-paragraph rant about how terrible The Messengers with Kristen Stewart is.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yeah, I had, when we watched that, I had truly believed I had never seen it
oh
before.
Oh my gosh.
It was like a point by point, The Messengers is the worst horror movie in years.
Oh, wow.
This happens to me far too often, where I will watch a movie and about an hour and a half in go, oh yeah.
But that didn't even happen. I watched the whole movie and did a podcast about it with no recollection.
That's crazy.
When you watch a lot of movies, it's hard to keep them all in there. Buddy.
Yeah, especially when the mediocre ones.
Yes.
Like you just instantly just flush them out.
Yes. Yeah. And I wouldn't change it, honestly. I would not rather retain more from every movie I watch and watch fewer movies.
Right.
Or just be walking around and being like, oh yeah, that one Matthew McConaughey rom-com from 16 years ago. I'm really hung up on the... I wonder if Ghosts of Girlfriends Past is funny.
It is, actually, I think.
It might be. Emma Stone is great in it, I remember.
I was going to say that that's one of the movies that I, when I used to write reviews of wedding movies, I remember that being one of the ones I watched and being like, this one's actually kind of cute.
Obviously, Denzel was attached to this forever. This is a Denzel project. But
he sometimes seems like he is in his own movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
And other times seems like he is clocking in and cashing a paycheck and not mentally present.
This one, I felt like Denzel was in a much better movie than what we saw.
He was an American Gangster too. Like he was doing the whole thing. Yes. And it's like, are you paying attention to what's going on around you?
My favorite part is when he doesn't kill Ryan Reynolds and then goes, I don't kill
professionals. I only kill professionals.
Yes.
Like, ouch.
That is, I'm like, Denzel Washington. You just are the coolest person alive.
Right, because like that's when things start. Okay, I'm sorry. Were you
No. I mean, there's more facts. We'll get to them. But that scene was fantastic. But then the next three scenes are where the movie is pretending that Ryan Reynolds is just going to walk away.
Yeah.
And I'm like, one, no, this is a movie. Two, if someone said that to you, your mission in life would be to prove them wrong from there.
Right.
If it took 10 years, you would earn that person's respect.
Yeah. It's just like, because we get mostly Denzel on screen in the beginning of the movie, and he is just acting his ass off and doing all the Denzel, like, pinpoints of here, like the smiles, the walk, the, you know, and just cool cat, just completely through it. And then when he stops being on screen for a lot, that's when interest just like plummets.
Also, wouldn't it be even cooler to have cool Denzel Washington and then the rest of the CIA being fucking dweebs?
Right.
Yeah.
And like, I wish that they had done a little bit more with Cold War spies versus War on Terror spies.
Mm. That these people from before have a much different version of this thing.
They don't have any interest in that. They don't have, this movie tries to be gritty and real and yet has no substance.
Right.
So it just is grim.
I should note that the Letterboxd list is garbage crime. Quote, the perfectly trash crime movies trapped between negligible VOD crap and prestigious Hollywood fare.
Yes.
Two Guns, The Next 3 Days, Pain and Gain, The Equalizer. Denzel's in a lot of them. Denzel is too Denzel to ever be like the Bruce Willis in the VOD crime movie. Mm-hmm. Like it always is going to get to theaters, but they're not often all that good.
No, no.
But this was his project.
But he's always that good.
Yes.
On the other hand, they looked at all the actors for the other parts, or for the other lead. IMDb lists the following people as having been considered. Sam Worthington, Shia LaBeouf, Andrew Garfield, James McAvoy, Taylor Kitsch, Garrett Hedlund, Zac Efron, Channing Tatum, Jake Gyllenhaal, Tom Hardy, Chris Hemsworth, and Chris Pine.
Ooh, Tom Hardy.
I was just going to say, Tom Hardy is the correct choice.
Yeah. Even Jake Gyllenhaal, I would accept.
And also, James McAvoy, he was good as a spy in Atomic Blonde. Like, there are people who have that we are handsome and forgettable and a sociopath vibe to them.
Yes.
Which is what spies are.
And apparently my type.
Yeah.
And finally, Denzel was actually waterboarded.
What?
Why?
Which,
why?
Why? This why? Is pretend times.
Sir, we don't have to do that.
Yes.
This is not a play.
They were like, only for a few seconds in each other. I'm like, that's enough.
No. It only takes a few seconds. Right? That's the whole point of why it's torture.
So we could have lost Denzel Washington for the sake of this fucking movie.
Put a towel on his face. Say, okay, Denzel, go, and we'll CGI some water in
exactly.
later.
Exactly.
It's why would you do that to yourself?
That is that's horrible decisions. Horrible. If I was his wife, I would still be talking,
yes.
cussing him out about it.
Also, when he started saying, like, your towel doesn't have high enough thread count.
Right. I was wondering what that was.
Colin was like, what does he mean? And I'm like, Colin, I refuse to Google how to waterboard.
Yeah. That's not the list I want to yes. be on.
Not in incognito mode, not on DuckDuckGo, no.
I don't need to know what he is talking about.
Let us just wait a minute. Yes. It might be explained.
I assume it has something to do with the weight of the cloth.
Yeah, it's probably. A thread count issue.
Yeah, because I think, you know.
Tighter seal.
Because if you get one of those cheapy Kmart cloth, like washcloths, right. it's not going yeah. to do. Another problem I had with this movie was technical. There's a lot of mumbling and a lot of... like
just because it's more real.
The dialogue was just so fucking low. Like, I had my TV... The volume up to like 55 at one point. Like, I don't hear what anybody is saying.
Well, that's the debate. Do we always have captions on all the time because the movies are quieter or because our soundbars and TVs are not set up to like have really loud music and boom booms and really quiet dialogue? And the answer is both.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a problem with everyone. They yeah. are just not. This is why the theatrical experience is better. Like, all of these decisions are made for auditoriums.
I still have that problem in theaters, too.
There will
it's
be
not
movies.
As bad.
Tenet. We yes, all saw Tenet.
I didn't see Tenet in the theater. But no, I definitely go to movies sometimes and feel like the sound mix is too cruel to the dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But it is obviously most egregious with action movies at home theaters. And you know what? I miss the days when TVs just came with fucking speakers. Because we got a new
right.
speaker setup, and it keeps once a night at least, it will just disconnect.
I just bought my third soundbar in like 3 years because they just break.
Yeah, I was having the damnedest time of like the audio being off from the video.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be seeing like it driving
out of
me
sync.
Yes, driving me crazy.
That truly makes me feel like I'm going insane
yeah.
so quickly.
And I know this makes me not the right kind of at home theater person. I don't want a subwoofer. I don't want
no right.
I don't want like a whole giant item in my room that is just there to go boom under right. my butt from behind me.
Exactly.
Like I don't need that. I want the all in one thing.
Yeah. We have a subwoofer.
I know. I used to.
It doesn't.
That's a level of commitment I'm not ready for. And then I just feel like then I'm gonna have to like nail them all in the walls.
I know.
Like,
then you get
our subwoofer is over. It's not under our butts. It's over by the TV. But we have a large unit designed to create rumbly bass.
Doesn't that? But you have shared walls.
Yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah, I know. I don't even have shared walls, and I feel bad about that.
Actually, the unit next to ours is often vacant, and I have joked in the past that it's a safe house.
Yeah.
It's entirely possible. How the hell are the bad guys finding him?
Because everybody's in on it is my best guess. I truly don't care.
I don't care, but like here's a facty that I forgot to mention. I'm just remembering other things from IMDb trivia now. I'll put a pin in this. One is, why was it in Cape Town? One, it was written in Rio, and they thought that they couldn't make that safe and secure. Like, this was meant to be running around the favelas in Rio.
Huh.
And it's like, no, we can't actually insure Denzel Washington to stand around there for.
Right. But you can insure Denzel Washington to stand around in Langa.
And two, money, you were saying?
So, yeah, Cape Town did the thing that Pittsburgh did at this time, where they were like, the government will give you money to come shoot here. And I think it was even more, like, in the States, it's usually like, you don't have to pay taxes while you work here, right? But in Cape Town, they're like, we will write you a check. Come film your movie here.
Yeah.
And then again, also, it's cheap, right? Like, I read an interview with Ryan Reynolds talking about when he was visiting, or when he was working there, his family was like, we're coming to visit. And he was like, all right, well, we're going to do everything. And he was like, I have never had so much fun in any place that I've filmed because of everything I just described of, like, you know, everything is there. Right. And he's like, and the dollar goes a really long way. And actually, this was, because it's funny, Colin took the job in 2012 when it was 7-1. And then, like, within a year of us living there, it was 10-1. So, really? Like, we were, our money was getting more and more powerful, but our active income was getting weaker and weaker. You know what I mean? Yeah. If I could be annoying about Cape Town for a second, the thing that I, that really sticks out to me in this movie with what was that when they're at Cape Town Stadium and Denzel has a brilliant plan to shoot some people and get Ryan Reynolds arrested for it. Is that what happens?
Yeah. He claims he's being kidnapped.
Right.
He causes a big diversion and knows that that'll create enough chaos that he can slip away. And that works for a while. And there apparently there was this untied thread in the original script where while Ryan Reynolds was at the Academy, he studied Tobin Frost specifically.
Okay. And what that's a stupid name. You're so right.
And that's what allowed him to track him down even after he slipped away, because he knew his
That was a little unnecessary.
Patterns.
I'm glad they cut that out.
Yeah, that's anyway. That's dumb. Ryan Reynolds starts shouting in Afrikaans. Don't do that if you're in Cape Town. People don't speak Afrikaans there. White people speak English. Like, there are people who know Afrikaans, but like the cops at Cape Town Stadium start with English, for sure.
It's like Gaelic in Ireland. Like, this is a thing that we may know. It serves no purpose.
Like, if you go to other parts of South Africa, white people's first language is typically Afrikaans. But in Cape Town, it's English.
Well, you know, he's been trapped in that safe house. He's been there for a year, but he's mostly just been in the safe house.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. He needs to get out more. He needs to go out with his French girlfriend.
Yeah, how does he have time for a girlfriend?
I don't know. Like, it's
Is there a shift for the safe house?
Yeah.
And why is, I feel like we're just saying, why this?
Right.
Because none of these, how was this on the blacklist? That's the ultimate question. This was a blacklist script.
I'm telling you, like there's a good version of this that is about spies being dorks and how they go 5 years with sending emails and then have to murder a guy with their bare hands. And that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because how does one cross that line?
Right, but you have to be ready to tell a kind of bummer of a story. And this movie wanted to be Jason Bourne, and so it has no substance.
Great. What's your rating? That feels like it could... Does anyone have anything else? I feel like this does not
I
just want to talk for a second about Bunny Chow. When you go to Eastern Food Bazaar, when you go on this trip, so you're going to go to the CBD in Cape Town, go to Eastern Food Bazaar, there's going to be a bunch of different stalls. Find one of the ones that sells Bunny Chow. Bunny Chow is you take a loaf of white bread and you cut off the top and you hollow it out and you fill it with curry and you just eat it with chunks of bread. It's amazing.
Sounds great.
That's funny.
That's similar to what I do with rye bread, not rye bread, pumpernickel bread and spinach dip.
Oh, yeah.
Spinach artichoke dip.
Yes.
Denzel Washington is here. There are action scenes.
I thought you meant Pittsburgh.
In the room.
I knew he wasn't in the room because I was not fainting.
Denzel Washington is present in the film. That kind of raises the floor.
Yeah.
Yes.
42?
Oh, wow.
Maybe? I can't. It's just so dumb and does not hook your attention. So that's as high as I can go. Camila?
I'm giving it a 62, and it's mostly Denzel points.
I'm going to go 38. I want to give it bonus points for making me go, ooh, Cape Town. But it's so hard to actually see Cape Town. And that's the, like, seriously, Cape Town, aside from everything else, is one of literally the most beautiful places on earth.
Is it?
And they have, like, two money shots. They have, like, the one shot where he's on Western Drive with his motorcycle.
Right.
Anyway, it bothered me. Don't show me little shadows of a place I used to live and love.
Before I average out those three numbers, the trailer.
He was one of the most brilliant CIA operatives we ever had. Until he went rogue.
So what's new in Cape Town?
I heard a slot open up.
One slot, 37 applicants. Every one of them with more field experience than you.
How am I supposed to get more experience? I'm staring at four walls all day.
This is Weston.
We have a last-minute reservation.
Oh, my God. That's Tobin Frost.
Kill all the surveillance cameras in this room.
Is this legal?
Go, 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 go!
Remember rule number one, you are responsible for your house guest. I'm your house guest.
time's a wasting.
Hey, hey!
Get in.
You serious?
Yeah.
Get in the trunk!
The safe house has been compromised. Follow protocol.
Protocol? There's no protocol for this!
It's a guy to a non-believer. You don't believe in.
Who's after us and why?
I think you need to consider how your safe house was attacked in the first place.
You're not gonna get in my head.
I am already in your head.
Hands on the mausoleum floor.
You can stay blind or you can open your eyes.
I want you to take me in.
So in addition to screwing up my karaoke game, Kanye has really pulled himself out of the mix as one of the great trailer soundtrack musicians.
So good, first of all.
Yeah.
I forgot how much that whole album was. I love that album.
I mean, I felt like every action trailer for 10 years had one of four Kanye songs.
Yeah, even the one that always sticks with me is the one with Matthew McConaughey and Leonardo DiCaprio. What is that? They're coked out Jonah, whatever.
Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, like they use a Kanye song with that, and that's just, that always got me.
Was all this legal? Absolutely not. We were making more money than we knew what to do with.
That's such a good trailer.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is a good trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think
trailer's
that
it in the movie.
Shows what you're going to get, but also I do think that if I gave a score to this 10 year or 12 years ago, it would be higher. I'm just so fucking tired of this bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, fucking get a tripod.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like the fucking oversaturated colors. This movie looks so dated.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, that's what we were doing around that time.
We were really into like shaky cams, oversaturated colors, sweaty men.
And now it gets 47 and a third. What a mediocre movie this was. Hoping for better next time.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a total waste because, again, like Denzel has a great performance and Ryan is not terrible. It's just...
No, he's just fine.
It's just what they're doing. It's like having a great meal in a fucking garage, I guess.
Yes. Great meal in a garage.
Also, if you go to Cape Town, go to Mazzoli's.
Now you know all of these fun facts.
Ryan Reynolds talked about going to Mazzoli's, and I was like, oh my God, Mazzoli's is a place, go to a butcher shop, you buy like a huge tray of meat, and then you take it to these guys manning grills, and it's all tables and stuff in this like backyard kind of area. It's in one of the townships, Google it too. And then everybody there treats you like you are royalty for being there. You know, you show up at 10 a.m. and it's a party, and I can't imagine how well they treated Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
Right?
How well did they treat Denzel?
Yeah.
I assume that Denzel Washington, reason he was having a great time there was that everybody worships him and he was king for a week or however long they were filming. And he deserves.
Yeah.
To the bingo card. I feel like someone's cashing in this week.
Movie released after 2010.
That's in there. Contains a place in the title.
Yep.
Is in there. And I think the majority of events take place in 24 hours.
We started off with Friday. Yeah.
Yeah, I would say yes.
Yeah.
And Robin, you have a question.
So I will get a double bingo.
Oh, shit.
If we believe that me renting this with Google Play credits that I earned through Google Opinion Rewards counts as paying for it.
I think it does.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
All right.
Also bingo.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
Damn.
Does your double bingo mean more than my single bingo?
It really depends on, do you want a movie draft?
Yeah, I always want a movie draft. I want to continue my unbroken streak of having never won a movie draft. I want to put in a lot of effort and then see Robin pick something people like more. And
Camila, do you want to impose any random conditions on this movie draft?
Yeah, that's what I did to you two.
Nothing comes to mind right now, but please stay tuned.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And listener, you stay tuned because we'll explain it in a future episode.
Great. Double bingo. Now. Woo! Yay. It's time for You Can't Handle the Truth. Let's go to the second half of this episode's double feature, The Greatest Night in Pop, because we all watched it.
Yes.
What a good time in front of the Netflix.
Yeah, so much of that I didn't know anything about. Like, I had no idea, like,
Same.
At all. all of it like basically took place on the nights of the Grammys after the
American
Grammys.
Music Awards.
Yes, sir. Yeah. And I didn't know that Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie wrote the song.
I think that that was something that I knew once upon a time. But it felt like new information to me again as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Same with that Quincy Jones was the producer.
Like, I think I knew he was producer.
I knew. I have this very clear memory of my sister's husband. He's from Mexico and he is very serious as a person. Uh-huh. And he's softened a lot since he had children. But like when they were dating, I remember us looking, we were going through my parents' record collection and they had We Are the World because they lived in the United States in 1985. And Pablo was like, I had this record. And he went through and pointed at literally every person on the album and named them. And I was so blown away by this because I, like, you know, Pablo is someone who, like, I'd be like, so Die Hard. And he'd be like, what? Right. And that was a really good Pablo impression, by the way. Colin will appreciate that. And he's like, yeah, Al Jarreau, right? I'm like, why do you know who that is? You know what I mean? Right. So that is so trapped in my brain. That's like, I feel like what I know about We Are the World. And also in first grade, I did learn how to sign it.
Huh.
But I don't remember how to do that.
Right.
Yes.
Well, funny thing, like, says 85?
I think so, right?
Yeah, I think it was 85, so I must have been, like, 9 when that came out. That was the year, like, when that video came out, that my mom learned that I could do impressions. And every time the video came on, I would impersonate every person, every song that they had. And then that's what she made me do every time we went to the doctor's office, the family, like grandma's house, my aunt's house. Someone came over. That's what I was doing that
year. Winds
you
up and lets you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of impressions, Lionel. Lionel Richie's impressions are incredible.
Yes.
And then the Stevie Wonder showing Bob Dylan how to be Bob Dylan.
Like, yo.
The hero's journey Bob Dylan goes on here. Because, like, it was always the joke, like, doesn't Bob Dylan look uncomfortable in the We Are the World video? And it's like, yeah, what you realize when you watch this is they did the chorus first, like, as soon as everybody showed up. So, like, Bob Dylan, go stand over there by Dionne Warwick and Diana Ross. And belt out this major key melody. And he's like, what the fuck is that? And the amazing moment of being like, of seeing any human being go, I don't know if I can sing this thing they're asking me to sing.
Right.
What should I do? I should ask Stevie Wonder for help.
Exactly.
And he does. And they talk about it. And then he can sing. And it's
like Stevie Wonder is another just like, it's crazy his whole involvement in this, because like when you watch it, you'll see that, you know, Lionel Richie and Michael Jackson tried to call him. He never called them back. He was supposed to help write the movie or write the song. And then he shows up night of, and it's like, great. And then he starts like trying to give orders and change shit.
We should
like,
put Swahili in this.
Sir. No, Steven. Like we, like if you wanted to do that, you should have been here.
Resulting directly in Waylon Jennings go, nope. Yeah, I'm out. Sorry. I don't know what the hell's going on here.
And then it's like the part where it's like, they don't speak Swahili in Ethiopia.
Yeah. Who wants to tell him?
But that's this movie. I mean, the first half of this movie is the interesting, like, blow by blow behind the scenes. Like, how did this happen? And then when you get into the room, there's just so many beautiful moments.
Right.
Because what you learn is, there are 50 stars there.
Yeah.
Just practically, they had to be like, nobody's managers, nobody's people, nobody's bodyguards. None of you other than the singers are allowed in this room. So they're just left to exist as the most famous people in the world alone for 8 hours. And
it's
great.
So many weird. I really connected to this as an artist. Mm. And also as somebody who has to herd cats.
Yeah.
A lot.
Been there. Yeah.
Like with other artists.
Yeah.
And like the part where it's like, how do we make weirdo genius Bob Dylan feel comfortable?
Right.
I was like, how do I make weirdo genius gonna bleep that out feel comfortable? Yeah. It's gonna be so fun hearing people's guesses as to which local improviser I just said. anyway, Sheila E. being like, I can't believe that I am here.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And then like, her realizing she was just Prince Bait.
Yep.
Oh, it's so sad.
It's like Sheila, baby girl, my sister in Christ, you knew. Like, Glamorous Life is a fine song, and you're a fantastic fucking drummer.
She's such a good drummer.
Right.
We love her.
Right. But there's no way nobody they were going to give you a verse, not with Michael Jackson, Dionne Warwick. Like, this, no.
And then when it's like, okay, Prince isn't coming. Huey Lewis, you're Prince now. And Huey Lewis is like, what?
That is so relatable.
And, yeah.
But I do think, all of this being said, I believe that this is a documentary that is well made enough that, like, anyone who doesn't know who Stevie Wonder is could watch this and get invested in it and enjoy it. I think it's very, very well done.
If I told my Huey Lewis anecdote on the pod, I was in a green room with Huey Lewis for like a good 30 or 40 minutes.
Oh my God.
And it quickly became apparent that, I mean, the reason Huey Lewis doesn't perform anymore is he can't really hear.
Right.
His hearing is generally shot. And what I slowly realized is, to avoid having to answer questions that he may or may not be able to hear and understand, anyone he meets, he just starts talking and just starts telling stories from
his
life
and
career. And so I'm kind of barely like, I mean, the first thing I told him was that Mary Beth introduced herself to me by saying, I was also born in 1985. It was a big year for Huey Lewis in the news. And he did seem to hear and appreciate that. But then over the next half hour, he's just going, and he gets to complaining about Ray Parker Jr. Because famously, the Ghostbusters theme is just a rewrite of I Want a New Drug.
Huh.
He actually has like the receipts on, we know that they asked for I Want a New Drug before the Ghostbusters theme was written, and he knew that they bought the single with the extended dance mix, which has a da 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 in it, and like he's breaking all of this down. And then he says, you know what happened to me when I went to We Are the World? I said, no, what happened? He said, I went up and I stood on the riser next to Michael Jackson, and I never met Michael Jackson before, and Michael Jackson turned to me and said, are you Huey Lewis? And I said, yes. He said, Ray Parker Jr. ripped you off, man.
Validated.
Pop has issued a ruling.
Right. Holy shit, snacks. That's amazing.
He was very nice.
Also, the whole business with, is it going to be a brighter day or a better day?
Yes.
That was great.
Yeah. Could you imagine just like being called in to light an event or a thing or something? Like, yeah, there's a video shoot happening and we just need you to light it. It's like, okay. What's going on? Go in, and then you're setting up your fucking lights, and then there's Michael the Jackson, like, I mean, standing right there.
I assume people in the industry get used to that stuff, but there's a certain level of
Michael Jackson.
I was just going to say, especially if it's like, oh, that's Michael Jackson, then that's Stevie Wonder.
Right.
And that's Harry Belafonte.
Right.
Like,
oh my God, Tina Turner.
Right. There's a certain limit where no one can maintain their cool.
I'm sorry. I just seem to have wet myself. I'm going to have to go.
Also, somehow, this movie is my most liked Letterboxd review of all time, which is just basically me recounting Paul Simon's joke.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, seriously. And I also love, like, or I saw...
Watch the movie to hear Paul Simon's joke. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Saw somebody's review was like, everybody, we are the world, Prince, the fuck we are.
I bet Prince felt a little bit of FOMO.
Well, he has a song on the album.
He sent
an alone song to the album. Like,
I don't
think
I knew that.
Yeah.
The full length.
Even though it's in my house.
Right. No, we had it at a growing up, but I'm again, like, I was nine. I'm paying attention to that.
No one was listening to the album tracks on Where the World. I also, one more thing about this, Bruce Springsteen is the hottest person who's ever lived, and I loved watching him actively grow vocal notes.
Aww.
Can you hit this? No, but I'm Bruce Springsteen.
We're gonna.
Okay,
Robin,
I have terrible taste in movies, and I enjoyed the movie Argylle.
I haven't seen it yet.
Okay. I'm just looking forward to it. The trailer, I saw Henry Cavill, and
yes,
being filthy. I'm here for it.
And he's got a ridiculous haircut. He's got a flat top.
I love it. I mean, like,
it's just, this is a very, very stupid movie.
Is this Guy Ritchie?
No, it's Matthew Vaughn who did the Kingsman movies.
Okay.
And I guess it's supposed to sort of be in that universe. I don't care.
Did you have fun?
I had a great time. it was one of those situations where I had literally, like, I think it's got like 12% on Rotten Tomatoes. Aww. I had literally heard real humans be like, I just saw one of the worst movies I've ever seen. And Colin and I wanted to go to the movies. And he was like, I'm either interested in seeing Argylle or Beekeeper. And I'm like, well, they're both going to be bad, right. But one what of them might of be fun.
Right. Yeah.
So we went to Argylle and it was completely fun. I like, it's dumb. It's not a good movie, but I'm really surprised that it is getting so trashed. And I don't get it. And also, this underscores my whole spy movie thesis. Mm. Like, if you're gonna go real, you need to go real, real. This movie is a spy movie that has no concerns whatsoever with any form of reality, and it works.
Nice.
Yes.
I still will, especially in this era of this calendar moment where it's like, what's out? Nothing. Okay. I still want to go to the movie theater. Yeah. Right. This is a good February movie.
Yeah.
It seems.
I usually get like a good like movie release for my birthday. That's right. Your birthday's coming up soon.
Yeah.
Both of you have birthdays.
Mm-hmm. Driveway Dolls, I'm looking forward to.
And then I started Shortcomings. Did you see that? It came out last summer.
No.
I'm going to finish it, but I reached the point where I was hate watching it. And I was like, life is too short. I should go to bed. But this is another one of those movies where it's like, representation matters. And now someone who is not a white man gets to make a bullshit Woody Allen movie. And we don't need any more of them.
We're good, guys.
Yes.
Let's walk away.
Yeah. How was Dumb Money, a movie I repeatedly thought about watching last year and never did?
Dumb.
Okay, good.
Was it?
It makes The Big Short seem like it respects your intelligence.
Ah.
Interesting.
Well, I watched Lisa Frankenstein, which is a lot of fun, written by Diablo Cody. And what's great is it is definitely a flavor of comedy that we don't get a lot of. Like, Heather's is the pretty clear point of reference, mm-hmm. but also there is a strong dash of John Waters in there.
Okay.
So a good, you know, maybe a little thin but good teen comedy with a slightly different tone than we are used to, especially for your Valentine's Day date movie. That would work very, very well. Other than that, I was on vacation, so I didn't see a lot. The 1926 silent film Sparrows is quite good. Finally watched When a Stranger Calls. I liked that okay.
I like the beginning of it.
Calls are coming from inside the house.
Yeah, the Carol original Kane, one.
The original, yeah. I mean, the beginning and the end, the middle right. where it's just kind of a drab,
yeah.
Not even whodunit, and just following the killer around.
It's a good story that's much better off as a short story.
Yes,
like we don't need to get into all the other business.
And I was at Disney World, so then I watched The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Mm.
That's one of my favorite Halloween movies from childhood.
It's so fun and different and interesting. I feel like it's forgotten. It's like one of the first 10 Disney movies.
Yeah. I used to always watch the Ichabod portion.
Yeah,
of
I never watched the Toad
and
one.
Then Mr. Toad. I don't think I saw the Mr. Toad portion until I was a grown up.
Right.
But I did go on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride when I was a kid, and Mr. Toad goes to hell. And I was really scared about going to hell because my family wasn't Christian, and I had Christian friends tell me we were going to go to hell. And
this tied directly into Mr. Toad.
And seems then
a little dark.
And then I
Disney.
Got like I like had a panic attack on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, like or as we were leaving Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, because I was thinking about going to hell because of Mr. Toad.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times.
Anyway, sorry. Wow.
Watch that on your Disney Plus, though. You don't just have to watch Little Mermaid and Snow White again.
Really
again.
Great character design on Ichabod Crane.
I fucking love it, with the tall and the
ridiculous neck.
Yes.
You think of that as a spooky one because the last 8 minutes are terrifying. Mm. The preceding 20 are just how there's this lady with a giant chest that he's really into.
Oh, yeah, and how he gets fed very well.
Yeah. Camila?
The only other thing I saw was I watched American Fiction.
Oh.
And I liked it a lot. I don't think I've paid attention. For some reason, I think that people are really just kind of like meh about it.
I think that people have really mixed feelings.
Yeah. And I don't understand why. Like, this is the type, I know I've probably said this before and like a few times before, but this is the type of movie about black families that I've been talking about, is that they're just normal people with normal fucking family dynamics and problems. Like, yeah, sure, you know, they've got some stuff misguided and miscommunications and, you know, all that stuff happening, but that's stuff that everybody can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody is, like, super duper extra wealthy. There's no, like, you know, big big super like drug addled problems. Like, you know, yes, Sterling has a problem, but you know, it's not like, you know, they're not from the hood and blah blah blah. So they're just dealing with these things and just their own familial connections. But I really liked it as a character development story, as a character study. And I love Sterling and I love that he has an Oscar nomination. I'm not sure why.
It definitely, watching it the second time was when I was like, okay, I can see how this is his Oscar winning moment. Like, I think the scene where he dances with his mom, and like, I'm getting choked up thinking about it. I feel like that's his Oscar winning moment. But the rest, I think a lot of it is just, he's kind of funny and charming, and it was a weakish field. And Sterling K. Brown is someone who deserves an Oscar nomination. Yeah. I think that people were like, oh, let's give it to him.
Yeah, I don't begrudge him of it.
I agree with you.
It was just kind of like, okay. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. And again, it's just, I feel like they should have stuck the landing a little bit harder for the ending.
Mm.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. The ending made me roll my eyes a little bit, but in a way that I still was like, okay. Because I think what the movie ultimately wants to say is half of this movie should not exist, but we have to, the race satire stuff only is here so we could get this movie made. Really what we want to do is just tell this family story.
Right. And that's kind of, funny enough, like ironically, that's what the story is telling
right.
you.
Right. I think that's what they're, I think they're trying to be meta about it, but it doesn't totally work.
Yeah.
And I'm also like, God, just make the fucking movie about the family. Colin listened to the book Erasure, which is from,
yeah, I do want to read that.
The early aughts and told me all about it. So he listened to it. Right. And he was like, 2 hours of the book, which I don't really know how much that, but for a really long time, the book is just my pathology. And it's awful.
I'll bet.
Right? And it's worse than, you know, you only see that one scene in the movie. Yeah. Right? But he's like, it's that, but it's bad. Like, there's like, just like awful murder and just badness. And he was like, it really makes it harder to, like,
yeah.
And then there's also just more darkness in the family story too. Like Lorraine is like stealing from them, and like the sister was murdered.
Oh, no, not
and
Lorraine.
Like, yeah, I know Lorraine and Maynard right? are like my favorite characters. So anyway, if you read the book, be ready for it to be not as good.
Interesting.
It's interesting you mentioned that. Like, I've seen people complain that this family is too wealthy. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's kind of part of the...
I don't care about people who have a beach house.
Like, no. Like, that's part of the fucking... The conversation is that, you know, hey, I need help taking... Like, financial help taking care of mom.
Right.
Like, can you do something? Like, that's... No. It's, they're like, you know, middle class and you know, maybe upper middle class. And,
right. It's just people being like, I'm not interested in the problems of people with beach houses.
No. And we don't know how they acquired said beach house.
They acquired said beach house by being doctors.
Right. Yes. Yes. Right. And like, you know, and they were talking about having to sell it. Like, you know, so right. like, it's just a plot point.
Yes.
So, yeah. Some people are just, you know, designed to want, just need to hate on everything.
That's true. I'm glad you liked it, though.
Yeah. I really liked it. Especially, and again, you know, welcome back, Erica Alexander.
Can we talk about how Erica Alexander is wearing that really beautiful tank top that perfectly matches the highlights in her hair?
Right?
She's so beautiful and elegant.
I fucking love her so much.
Robin, will it win an Oscar?
I don't think so.
It's been... Not, you know, it's not been the nominations leader anywhere because that's Oppenheimer automatically, but it has overperformed in everywhere. It has gotten more nominations than expected everywhere. At the Critics' Choice Awards, it took adapted screenplay over Oppenheimer,
right.
Even though we gave Oppenheimer every fucking award.
But I feel like they might do Barbie's consolation prize as screenplay.
Right.
You know what I think this movie could feasibly win is SAG Best Ensemble.
Yeah. The Oscars does feel like Oppenheimer or Barbie will win every category.
I think Oppenheimer is mostly going to win and Barbie will get some craft things and it will be a relatively boring Oscars.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
That's okay. Shall we draw a movie?
Let's do it.
Yay.
We are in Black History Month and we have our Black History Month list, which we are drawing from. Camila gets free unlimited vetoes. You know why.
The least you could do.
Mm-hmm. Remember how you have unlimited free vetoes?
Veto.
Exercise my veto, man.
We drew Medea goes to jail.
Veto.
I've never seen one of those movies.
I've never seen one either.
And I'm like, I go
and
around.
You won't now.
I go around sort of defending Tyler Perry. I'm like, he's actually a pretty good actor.
Don't do that. No, he's not.
And he's fine. He doesn't need your help. He's doing just fine for himself. Instead, we drew, well, we've already mentioned it once. Tenet. I drew Tenet. You made the list.
I know. And it's like Denzel.
It has nothing to do with Black history.
Neither did Safe House.
I mean.
We're going to try one more time.
You could just pick one if you want.
I know at this point. Like, fuck it.
Night School. 2018.
Yeah, okay.
What is that?
That's Kevin Hart and Tiffany Haddish.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I saw this at the time.
Directed by Malcolm D. Lee.
Who's that?
He's black.
Good for him.
And he that's directed, the important thing.
He directed the Best Man movies.
Oh, I like those movies.
All right. I'm sure I saw this at the time. I'm sure it prompted a conversation about how, what's happening to big screen comedies? Why aren't they coming out anymore? You know, sure.
Hooray.
I don't know if we've done a Kevin Hart movie, and there's, you know, 78 Kevin Hart movies.
I don't think we have.
I felt like we had.
That's just because he's everywhere.
He is everywhere.
You watch a commercial, you watch a TV show, he just turns up.
He has some heist movie, I want to say on Netflix, that I watched the end of, and I was just a ball of rage about how you can't make Kevin Hart cool. Stop trying.
I know, right? Like, don't.
He's good at being in movies. That's enough.
Right.
Like, he shouldn't have to also feel cool.
Right.
He's good at being in movies because he's not cool.
Exactly.
Right.
And yet?
Yes. I mean, listen, he's inherently uncool, and that's why he's so pleasant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I do love, we could save it for next week, the best thing about Fast and Furious : Hobbs and Shaw is the moment where they're bickering at each other. Hobbs and Shaw are bickering at each other, and Kevin Hart just shows up and tells them to shut up, having not been billed or advertised as being in the movie. It's just like, he can be anywhere.
You just never know.
It could happen at any time. We could be watching The Conjuring 3, and he could be like,
guys.
He's like James Franco.
Safe House went to number one on February 17th, 2012. What was the number one song in America?
Gangnam Style.
No.
That happened while I lived in Cape Town.
Oh, really?
Yes. How about Katy Perry?
No.
Maroon 5?
No. Robin was closer.
Robin?
No.
Katy Perry. Miley Cyrus.
No.
Lady Gaga.
This artist was at the Grammys, and I watched most of the Grammys. They were shockingly entertaining this year. Usually I put them on for 5 minutes and it's bad. It was very good Grammys this year. This artist was there and nominated for some things, which surprised me because I did not think that they were doing music
things
right now.
Madonna?
No. Who was in Pittsburgh last night.
Oh, yeah.
I'm told she took the stage at 10:09 p.m.
Good God.
Mm-hmm. On a Monday, Madonna.
For a bunch of people in their 40s and 50s.
I know.
Right?
It's I know.
Just waking up?
Mm-hmm.
2012.
Are we looking for a lady pop singer?
We are looking for a lady pop singer.
Rihanna?
No.
Closer to Katy Perry.
More pop than... go into the straight pop lane instead of that R&B lane.
Kylie? No. Colby Calais?
No, but you're starting to make some of the right noises. There are relevant
Christina Aguilera?
There are relevant letters in there. No, Colby Calais was closer.
Kesha?
No.
$? Huh?
Colby, but...
Carrie?
Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh.
My Life Would Suck Without You.
No, not that one.
Stronger.
Yes, which, much like Kanye West's song, is stronger parentheses, only stronger parentheses.
What doesn't kill you?
What doesn't kill you? I would have just called the song "What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger."
Yeah,
that seemed fine to me.
Everybody's got to add a little extra. Everybody's doing a little extra zhuzh. Yeah.
How do you spell zhuzh?
Number one.
J-U-J-J.
I saw Z-H-U-S-H in zhuzh. Caption somewhere, and I think that might be the right answer.
Hmm.
There's got to be a J in there. I don't know.